Welcome, everyone. It is February 22nd, 2026. We are in another storm watch here in Western Mass. I am Robin O'Haron, the co-host, and this is the Morgellons Think Tank BBC podcast of the week. That's a mouthful. Morgellons is such a confusing, horrifying, scary, understandable disease. And if you are fighting with Morgellons and you have used up all the things you can think of and you don't know where to go and you can't get well, you're in the right place because this is a community with solutions, answers, and help. And that's why we do this. We are now a podcast, which is exciting. You can hear us. I don't know what the link for the podcast is, but I'm sure Richard will let us know. And we have great hosts. We have Richard Kuhns, the author of How to Get Your Life Back from Lyme, Morgellons, and Other Skin Parasites. And we have another guest who's not with us today. She is under the weather, but will be back. So I'm going to turn it over to Richard Kuhns, world-leading expert on how to get your life back from Lyme, Morgellons, and other skin parasites.
Thank you, Robin. Good afternoon, everybody. It's starting to be a snowy day here in New Jersey, expecting 10 inches, and that's not something that I relish dealing with tomorrow. Let's get started with the federal regulations, which we want to be in compliance with. The federal regulations of the FDA require that I inform you that before you start my miraculous diet or accept any recommendations that we discuss here today, that you are to discuss them with your medical doctor to make sure they do not interfere with any health problems you're presently experiencing. The FDA has not evaluated anything that we will be sharing or saying here today. The AMA requires me to inform you that none of us are trained, licensed physicians, and therefore we are not allowed to diagnose, treat, cure, mitigate, or prevent disease, and we have no interest in doing any of that. What we are allowed to do by law is to educate you. We can educate you how to use this amazing diet. We can educate you how to clean your environment. We can educate you how to build health and immune functioning. And we can educate you how to, beat these things. That's what we can do. So today's topic is, what is Morgellons? Carrie was going to be with us. Unfortunately, she just texted me and let me know that she is way late. She may join us later. Something about having had to go to the hospital or whatever. But in any event, I will go ahead as we had originally planned. What is Morgellons? Now, first of all, being this a podcast, the first time you may have joined in, the question in your mind may be, well, do I have Morgellons? So let's go over what we would expect that you would find if you are dealing with Morgellons. So we'll take that question out of your mind and you'll have an answer as to whether you're dealing with Morgellons or not. Those with Morgellons, according to Dr. Savely, we use her definition. She wrote a book called Morgellons, The Legitimization of a Disease. The only thing that really defines Morgellons is the growth of abnormal filaments and fibers from your skin. Now, these filaments and fibers, and we'll talk more about them later on, can be of various colors, often believed to be fluorescent. They can be of various lengths and thicknesses, and some can be kind of microscopic, so that you'd have to have an actual 60-power scope in order to actually see it, in which case you wouldn't really be seeing them, but you would find accumulations of them. So, for instance, in your bedding and clothing, you'd find lint-like substances balled up, and that would be an indication that Morgellons is active in your body. Now, people with Morgellons often have non-healing ulcerated ulcerations. Now, this can also be a sign of other skin parasites. It's not specific to Morgellons. Slow healing lesions. That could also mean calendula infestation. Now, itching to the degree that it feels like you're sleeping on shards, like the itching is from under the skin. Again, Morgellons, and also could be calendula or calendula. I don't know how it's actually pronounced. Maybe someone will educate me one day as to the correct pronunciation. So then there is also a biting sensation often accompanying. The biting sensation feels like it goes to the core of the bone. That is also could be calendula. So, and the reality is, we find that generally 90% of those who are dealing with Morgellons are also dealing with calendula and also mites, M-I-T-E-S. Burning of the skin. Well, this is more specific associated with skin fungus rather than Morgellons. And then the biting to the bone. Okay, this could be calendula, as I mentioned earlier, or it could be skin fungus. Now, skin fungus, the difference is the biting to the bone can move. What do I mean move? Well, it might start, say, anywhere, like on your shoulder, and 2 minutes later, it shifted to the back of the shoulder, from the front to the back or down the arm or something. It'll move. Okay, so there you have it as to whether you're dealing with Morgellons. If there is no presence of filaments and fibers, it doesn't mean you don't have a skin parasite. Simply means that you're not dealing with Morgellons disease. Okay, now what is Morgellons? Well, it starts differently with different people. I'm more familiar with it might look like psoriasis in the beginning, a reddish area on your skin. And if you don't know what to do about it, it will quickly become ulcerated and with the filaments and fibers beginning to grow out of it. It can start in other ways as well, but that's the one that I'm more familiar with. The images of these filaments and fibers, if you are following Facebook, and I was going to ask Carrie about this because she is the moderator of the Facebook group, Morgellons Uncensored. And if you are a member of that group or have ever been looking at these different Morgellons groups, that's basically 90% of what you're going to see. People publishing photographs of filaments and fibers. And there are no two pictures that are exactly alike. See, this is the interesting thing about Morgellons. If you are so fortunate enough to find the magic solution and feel that you're rid of Morgellons, it's so easy to think, well, if everybody did it, if everybody did what I did, everybody be. It doesn't work that way. Because Morgellons, there are no two people experiencing Morgellons with exactly the same symptomatology. I had published a blog post some time ago, and I wish I could take a picture of it here for you, but the filament is in the form of a bow tie. And the bow tie in length and from one end to the other is no more than maybe a half inch. And you wonder, how in the hell could this bow tie be created? How did it happen? Well, somehow it did. We don't know the answers to this. All we know is these filaments and fibers are comprised of keratin and collagen. And this particular bow tie, I know, is not just some strange thing, because two people have submitted pictures of that particular bow tie. So it's not just that these things suddenly appeared. So no two people have the same filaments in terms of length and color, in terms of size or anything like that. So everybody's filaments and fibers are a variation and are different thicknesses, different lengths, some white, black. Now goo. Many people have goo, a biofilm coming from their skin. And this can vary in colors as well, black and gooey, whitish. So again, some people have it, some people don't, and you may have the goo and one and a white filament, and you know, there's no two people that have exactly the same thing. Many people have pergionodularis. What is that? These are the bumps on their skin. They're believed to be a viral possibility, a bacterial. If you look it up, there's really, it's kind of like an unknown thing. What we do know is that people progressing with the program that we have with the King Diet, these bumps do disappear and leave in time. Some have aches and pains like fibromyalgia. I'd say probably 35-50% of the people have this issue going on. Now, sparkles. Oh yes, I had them. If you're standing in front of a window with the sun coming in and you look at your skin, it's all sparkly. A lot of sparkles going on. Exactly what they are? Well, when I looked at them under a microscope myself many years ago, they were a perfect sphere, which indicated to me it was probably some kind of egg of mites. And there again, mites. It seems that 90% of those who are dealing with Morgellons are also, well, you know, actually it's probably closer to 100%, are dealing with some kind of mite that infests their skin. Now, of course, if you go to the epidemiologist and the experts in the college and your local county organization that deals with pests, and, you know, the mosquito people, and you talk to them about mites, and they will tell you, well, they can't live on your skin. Well, they're wrong. In fact, probably, although 100% of us do have infestations of mites, for maybe 30 to 40%, it's very serious. For me, it wasn't a big deal, and they went away in time. I had them generally around my eyes, and every now and then I'd see a little black thing coming out and then or whatever, and over time that had stopped. But some, it's not that easy. Now, what else? Well, some have stomach and intestinal issues, and many don't. Those with stomach and intestinal issues, that can be a big issue, because that means they're their gut biome is really messed up, and if a gut biome is really messed up, their health is messed up, and their whole body is kind of in poor shape. So that's something we do work on and we focus on in dealing with. Now, teeth. Morgellons loves the teeth in the mouth, but not everybody is affected that way. But many people that have a big problem. So you see, look at these different symptoms. No two people have exactly the same things going on. It's a hodgepodge. Some have this and that and so forth. Paranoia. Yes, there are some people who are very paranoid and think the government is after them, and it affects them. Bipolar symptoms. In fact, Dr. Bransfield, a psychiatrist, is associated with the Charles Holloman Association or Foundation, in which they focus mainly on, and I'll talk more about it later, more on Morgellons being connected with Lyme disease. And they use antibiotic rotations for treatment, but we'll talk more about that later on. Brain fog. Well, a large percentage of people have a brain fog, and some don't. But, you know, you walk into a room to get, so you're going to walk into a room to pick up your pen because you want to write something down. And the moment you walk into the room, you forget, why am I coming in here? What am I coming in here for? Forgetfulness, okay? So, you know, listen, is it dementia or is it Morgellons? So that usually clears up as we get the diet working and build health and immune functioning. That clears up. Disfiguring lesions. Some do and some don't. Our coach Sharon can share her experience of the disfiguring lesions practically on the whole, I believe it was the right side of her face. The rashes, they vary in size and color and location and intensity. And some people don't have them. Some people have intense itching, as I mentioned earlier, and some don't. Many feel the experience of being bitten, like I mentioned before, the bite that feels like it goes to the bone, and some don't. Burning skin, that's associated with skin fungus, and some don't. Some have intense scalp issues, and it drives them crazy, and others don't. Some have hives near the anus, but most don't. This would be connected perhaps with Strongyloides cericollis. You see, the list goes on and on. It gets more complicated because everyone has more of the symptoms listed in addition to these strange filaments. So how in the heck could anyone possibly think that you could find something on Facebook that would work for you when we haven't even talked about disinfecting your environment. We haven't even talked about how to clean your skin. Gosh, I mean, this is complicated. And nobody, no two people have exactly the same symptomatology. It just doesn't work that way. But it doesn't mean that we can't put the pieces of the puzzle together and get well and get our lives back. So it's really mind-boggling. Now, what's even more frustrating is that the experts who claim to be experts about Morgellons, they're all pigeonholed. Pigeonholed. Yes, the experts, there's one set of experts, it's Lyme disease. Well, I had Lyme disease, but I didn't have Morgellons at that time. And I would say, yeah, Lyme disease, probably 30, 40% perhaps of the people in the group are dealing with Lyme disease. I spoke to a doctor in Europe. To him, it was helmets, worms. That's what Morgellons was to him. There's a fellow in Texas. He's a magnet guy, I forget his name. To him, it's miasis. That's like a midget breathing under your skin. Hans, I forget his last name. He does a lot of videos. To him, it's fungal. And you know what? He's most likely correct. It is most likely fungal. But as far as I'm concerned, I don't care what it is. It doesn't matter to me. I don't care where it came from. I don't care where it came from. Plum Island or government research going haywire. That would be Plum Island as well. It doesn't matter because we know what to do about it. So these cofactors differ from person to person. Back to Lyme disease. A pilot study, research done by Middleveen and Strickler, found that 90% of the Morgellons afflicted people have one or more variations of spirochetes, but not 100%. And again, as I mentioned, my experience is less than that. Their pilot studies are like 12 people, so it's not really something that you can go to the bank with. As my experience in talking with and working with thousands of people, I don't believe that. There's one person that believes that syphilis is involved. That's also a spirochete, by the way. Perhaps maybe 5%. Dr. Bransfield, who I mentioned earlier, claims chlamydia, not the sexual type, is often a cofactor. You see, we realize these are cofactors, but some people get pigeonholed into thinking that's it. Fungal issues, they're far more prevalent. I bet that 90%, if Morgellons is indeed fungal, as I believe it is, that's 100%. But there are many other fungal. The typical one is like Candida albicans that most people experience. And there are other fungal issues that can be present as well. Now, Dr. J. Davidson here, a parasitologist in New Jersey, he claims that 100% of us are affected with pinhook round toxocaris, flatworms, tapeworms that can be dormant for years, and along comes with Morgellons, and they come into play and become an issue. Again, Morgellons is not worms, but these are cofactors. So when we look at these things more as cofactors, then that's what Morgellons is, then we might get somewhere. I mentioned earlier, leaky gut. Well, gut problems. I didn't mention leaky gut particularly, but 20% of us are dealing with leaky gut, which means that, the Candida albicans and the worms have just gotten into the superhighway of the bloodstream and distributed throughout your body. That's what that means. Lyme mold. Yes, you often see articles and people saying, oh, yeah, it all stopped. I moved into this house. It was a brand new home, and then things broke down, and they got the sewer got flooded, and slime mold definitely is a issue for a relatively small percentage. Approximately 20 people live in moldy environments, and that can be a complication, a cofactor. Some people believe that Morgellons is an insect of some type, but it's not. You know, as I believe Hans, it's more fungal. But the interesting thing is you could get bitten by an insect that is carrying Morgellons. That bite, they lay their eggs or whatever, and those insects will then be breathing under your skin. And they're parasitized. So when they come through your skin, and this is another difference, not everybody has this, but people have different things emerging from their skin. Now, if it's of insect variety, then the DNA is modified, and the organism coming out is not like the one that bit you. Say, for instance, you were bitten by an infected spider. They got eight legs. And if that organism is then breeding under your skin and emerging from your skin. Instead of 8 legs, it might have 16 legs, as a sufferer had sent me a picture of one that came out of her body. Barbs come out of your body. They could be short barbs, long barbs, gooey gunk. I mean, looking at Facebook, you can see all the pictures. In fact, if you look at the cover of my book, Morgellons, the legit Morgellons, how to get your life back from Morgellons and other skin parasites, you see globular things there, all reported having come out of somebody's skin. So the organisms and the type of things emerging, they're all different. No two people have exactly the same thing going on. How can we possibly expect that there would be one solution to cure all or to help all? Well, here's another thing. There is a website that claims that Morgellons is a concrete-eating organism. Concrete, you know, the stuff they make floors out of, build bridges of. But Morgellons, these organisms can eat wood, concrete, ceramics, metal. People report finding the organisms in their canned food. My first thought when I heard these reports were, okay, we talked about paranoia before and it can affect the mind, but I never am critical of someone who reports something to me. I never invalidate them. And after I heard a half a dozen people telling me the same thing, I knew there had to be something to it. And what did it is not Morgellons. It's an organism that is a carrier for Morgellons, just as mites can carry Morgellons, that emits either an enzyme or an acid, we don't know which, that actually can eat through metal cans. And I guess the hole is so tiny that the food doesn't leak out, but the organism can go in. I don't know how that works, but nevertheless, I don't doubt it. We mentioned myasis before. There's a small percentage of people dealing with that. Could be from a fly or being bitten by a midge. Usually it happens in the tropical areas. Maybe 5% of the people are dealing with something like that. Filariasis, tropical disease caused the presence of filarial worm. Again, maybe in this country, 2 or 3% are affected by this. Heavy metal toxicity. Well, heavy metal toxicity is an issue for 90% or more of us because of the amalgam fillings that we've gotten as children and as we were growing up. The mercury, well, that's not the only metal. There's cobalt, there's cadmium, iron, lead. All these metals can accumulate and become an issue. And there was a doctor, I forget his name, Ed Ammon, who years ago, his whole thing was, if you want to get rid of Morgellons, you got to get rid of all your fillings. Get all those fillings out. Go spend $10,000, $15,000 and get rid of all those old amalgam fillings. Well, my opinion, that was rather over the top, because you could do the same thing if you boost your glutathione level. Glutathione is the a substance we talked about last week that gets rid of toxicity and detoxifies you at your on a cellular level. And so you don't need to pull all your fillings, because as your fillings release the mercury, well, if you are taking the glutathione boosters, it's going to be taken away from your body. So there's different ways of skinning the cat. Okay, now we talked about many of the general, but one lady found that she had, see if I can pronounce this, Manicella perstans. It's a vector-borne human filarial nematode transmitted by tiny blood-sucking flies called midges. Okay. her doctor was smart enough to test for these things and treated her for it, and her Morgellons went away. Protozoan, like Babesia, complicates Lyme disease. All right, there's another issue here with Lyme disease. Amoebas can complicate things and be life-threatening. Bartonella, bacteria that live primarily inside the lining of blood vessels, often associated with Lyme disease. So we have Lyme disease and we have its complications also affecting Morgellons. And these things don't necessarily have to be associated with Lyme disease. Spirochetosis, we talked about this last week. Rosegarner's disease. And yes, pigeonhole, there's a group of people who believe that Morgellons is spirochetosis. They treat it with supersaturated potassium iodide. And yes, if that's the issue, well, that often clears things up for them. There are complications. Dermatitis hepiformis affects maybe one out of five with celiac disease. So if you have celiac disease, that could be complicated by this organism. It's easily mistaken for a skin mite infection. It's treated with Dapasone. Rare bacterial infestations of skin causing large enlargement of affected areas treated by metronidazole gel. Pseudomonas aegypti or Staphylococcus aureus and Citrobacter coccidera. They're common forms of bacterial infections, often harmless, but they can get out of hand and become an issue. And if the doctor identifies them and treats them, well, then away goes Morgellons disease. So these things are not Morgellons disease, but they are the pawns, the rooks, the bishops, the queen that is keeping Morgellons alive and in power. There's a cytomegalovirus. It affects eyes, lungs, liver, esophagus, stomach, intestines, and brain. Schizomatosis, generally not found in the U.S. It's caused by parasitic flatworms with the life cycle of certain species of snails. Tapeworms, we didn't even talk about them. They're very prevalent. Cellulitis, swollen, painful skin from Streptococcus or Staphylococcus. All of these are cofactors and can be a part. Now, the ones that more recently read, they're less likely to be found than, say, the mites and the Columbara and the Candida and the other things that we talked about. So, Morgellons is multifaceted. It is none of these things, but all of these things bear to weight. And we didn't even talk about EMF and the influence of EMF on perhaps preventing someone from getting well. The EMF, particularly 5G, has a way of messing up the communication that allows minerals into ourselves. And particularly with EMF, as I understand it, that frequency can open up a distribution of too much calcium into the cellular network itself, screwing up the endocrine system. So if you screw up your endocrine system, you know, it gives Morgellons a field day. Definitely a field day. Then I did mention the gut biome. And if you take away gut health, and particularly with long-term antibiotic treatment, people can end up unable to digest food. Bad news. That's another field day for Morgellons. Yeah. Anything that really detracts from your vitality and your health is only going to help Morgellons become a bigger issue in your life. And there ain't no one thing, not one little thing that you can take. Like, for instance, I mentioned last week, one YouTube video, the guy said, well, I started taking baking soda and I'm cured of Morgellons. Well, will that work for you? It won't cure you of Morgellons, that's for sure, because yours may not be anywhere close to what he was dealing with. And all baking soda does is it relieves the stress of the body to maintain itself in a neutral pH. So by taking baking soda, which is part of my protocol, and I highly suggest it, it's inexpensive, it's cheap, and it helps, you're at a better pH level. Well, you're not at a better pH level. The pH level doesn't change, but there's less stress upon your body to be at the right pH level, which makes you healthier. Well, that's about it. You know, I had to do it all myself. We still got a good bit of time. What do you guys got? Sharon, you have anything to add? Any comments, questions?
Oh, Richard, that was great and very informative. Thanks for confirming the definition of Morgellons. By definition, it is filaments and fibers. And I don't understand. Well, it's no reason for me to just go into the I don't understand why the medical field doesn't get it. But it just seems so straightforward when you give us this information that it should be so easy for everyone else to understand. Are we just the smartest people in the world?
Well, I know the diet is the best approach to getting your life back. We've seen hundreds of people over the years get their lives back where there's nothing the medical profession has done to support anybody in getting their life back. So, Robin, what do you got to say?
I still have one more thing. The medical field has been, they've been spreading nothing but butter. You know what that is?
Butter.
Nothing but lies.
But what was that? But
I said they've been spreading nothing but. And I asked you, do you know what that is? Nothing but?
Nothing but. But lies, yeah.
But
yeah. Lies. Yeah, you go to the doctor, and if you make the mistake of mentioning that you might have more gallons, you probably will get an automatic diagnosis of being delusions of parasitosis. That's it. Robin.
Yes. I liked that you mentioned celiac disease because I was born with that, and I never heard anything about what happens with celiac disease and Morgellons. That was really good.
Yeah. There are all these complications.
Right.
Yeah.
And I was reading that as he was saying it. They actually have a diet. Imagine that, a diet to help cure something. They're so smart, aren't they? But they have, it says they have a gluten-free diet.
Oh, so definitely.
I know. I'm on it.
Okay, yeah. So it's like, wow.
But that's not, you know, all the gluten-free foods you see in a store have other things I can't eat in them. I mean, I have to make my own stuff.
Because you have to combine both the king diet and the gluten-free, right?
Right, yes. And actually, our diet is not 100% gluten-free because spelt is a wheat product and does have some gluten in it. But generally, it just happens to be that the diet is most gluten-free for a large part of it.
Yeah. Yep, that's true. So, yeah, I really enjoyed your talk today, Richard. Thank you.
Yeah. Thank you. You're welcome.
You also let everyone know, you answered a very important question when it comes to, well, how long did it take you to get well? Well, my cofactors are probably different than your cofactors. I had Columbella, mites, Morgellons. You may have all those other new names that just blew me away that you were talking about earlier.
I was lucky. I was halfway good at pronouncing most of that stuff, but nevertheless.
Yeah.
I haven't followed the Facebook post a lot, but I can't remember of any post where anybody has talked about how they disinfect their environment, how they keep from getting reinfected. They say, oh, I did this, but did you do anything with your environment? And people say, well, I did this, but did you really get better long term? Or did you just play a game and have to move on to something else? So, and that's what I found so discouraging when I first started with my problem back in the mid-90s, is I would see these posts, and you'd want to call a guy up and say, but give me some more details. There's nothing here. You know, you just said you did this, but how did you do it? How much did you do it? How often did you do it? All that kind of information is missing. But if you read this book, it's not missing. It's in here. Chapter 3 is about 55 pages, how to get your life back from chronic Lyme, Morgellons, and other skin parasites. 50-some pages on how to disinfect your bathroom, your kitchen, your automobile, your bedroom, how to do your laundry. But you never see that on Facebook. And you know if they're not doing it, they're not getting anywhere.
Yeah. They don't talk about building health and immune, and that's so important. You know, that's not mentioned.
Yeah. Well, last week we did talk about that one substance. What was it called? I forget.
Quercetin or something.
Quercetin,
like
yes. We talked about quercetin and it being, yes, it definitely, it's a good thing to do. And I think, Robin, you've been doing it for some time.
Yeah, it helps with clearing your lungs up also.
Yeah, but it is not going to do it for everybody. If one person found it and it made a big difference in his life, well, good for him. But to think that everybody here is going to do it and make a difference is impractical. And whereas I go, rather than quercetin or sod, I go with glutathione. Because if you look at what each of them do, glutathione does what most of sod does most of what quercetin does, and a lot more. So, yeah, if it's affordable, do all three if you can find them that are compatible with the diet. But, not everybody has a big piggy bank that can afford to do everything.
What is the sod? Someone asked me that I coach. Well, actually, I think it was Diane asked yesterday about that. And I said, I heard it, but only sod I know is the one that's grass. So what is that supplement?
I'm trying to remember how to pronounce it. Dismutase. It has a tremendous amount of value, but it pales in comparison to what glutathione does and value in protecting the DNA and everything else that glutathione does. And, of course, unless you're taking the right glutathione supplement, it's not going to matter either, because the supplements that you purchase in the health food store have other ingredients that actually feed the organisms, or they're not compatible with the diet. So that's important. And the other thing is that the actual glutathione supplements, the glutathione molecule is a large tripeptide, and the stomach enjoys it. It likes to break it up as food, which makes it a bigger problem. So not very much of what you actually consume gets into the bloodstream where you want it. And that's why we use either the patch that goes on the skin, and the glutathione is created right there in the bloodstream, or the Max One, which is a combination of D-ribose and L-cysteine, the L-cysteine being the protein that gets into the it's not a protein, but it gets into the cellular structure and contributes to building glutathione there. Okay. Well, we have about 14 minutes left. We got a lot of time.
Wow.
Do we want to Yeah, I guess being that Carrie's not here today, we could open the take some questions. So, was there anybody that we had questions that gave you the last four digits? We can
yes,
do
Chris
some.
Has the number. Chris has it.
Okay, Chris, who's the first person?
Our wonderful coach, Adesha, our buddy coach.
Now, asking a question, please just answer the question. We don't need to know background or what you've been doing and so forth. We just ask the question and get right to it. That's the meat of what we're about here. Or if we enjoy testimonials, if you're doing well and would like to share how the diet's been working for you, wonderful. We'd love to hear that as well. So that was a question, Chris.
Adesha, your line is open.
October, Richard.
October 1st, I told you that I had been diagnosed with spiculated nodules in my lungs, and I started taking Fenbin out of fear because my PET scan was not until February. I had my PET scan last week. All is clear. No cancer, no anything, nothing.
Well, that's great.
All the things on my leg are gone.
Congratulations.
I have iron stickers all over me to increase my iron. And I think it's going to work.
Wonderful. Okay. Thank you. Anyone else? Who's next, Chris?
Alba 9881.
Hello.
Alba. Hello.
Yes. Yes. Hold on a minute. I'm new to this, so I really don't know much about it. But you know, seems like I do have Morgellons. I really don't know exactly. I have a private doctor that says that she feels I do, and that maybe also that other disease that you mentioned. But I don't know, you know, something, I don't know, my head, my
well,
head, that feels
Alba,
really yeah.
Alba, do you have strange filaments and fibers coming from your skin?
It feels like pins and needles going through the skin and from the head. It seems like something got out now from the head, and it's very sticky, and it sheds something that is like pointy, you know, it goes through the skin into the mouth and nose. I can't eat anymore. I have a G-tube, and my question is, is there anything that I can do? Because I've heard about the diet, but I cannot eat, and I have a G-tube, and that makes it very difficult for me to do any diets because I cannot eat.
Why can't you eat?
I cannot eat. I have a G-tube, so I just put formula in there.
Oh.
That's how I nurture myself. But the problem is that this comes from the head. It's very sticky. It feels like it has layers of sticky stuff, and it sheds stuff, you know, through the skin. It sheds like something that feels like pins and needles.
Well, if it's something coming out of your skin, but you're not seeing any filaments or fibers, is that correct? You don't find lint-like or cotton-like balls in your bedding and clothing?
I see white little pieces of what it looks like might be little pieces of paper, you know, but they pointy and they're very tiny, and it sheds into the clothes and things like that. It looks white, but then, you know, I don't, you know, I might have been, we might have been exposed to that other thing, you know, I forget the name. Black stuff comes out of my YouTube, you know, like sand.
I don't know. It's hard to say.
Are you trying
graphene,
to say my
you know, graphene, something like that? I'm thinking might be, but I mean, I want to know if there's anything I can put on my head to kind of like clear this, because you know I tried all shampoos, anything, it doesn't come off. It's very sticky. So sticky, you know.
Well, sticky is a biofilm,
yeah.
It's often associated with Morgellons, but
Yeah.
the actual thing that determines Morgellons is the presence of filaments and fibers, and they
Yeah.
can be cotton-like, lint-like substance, so balls that you find, or the filaments actually coming out of your skin.
They do come out of the skin, yeah. They come out from everywhere, you know. Now is the face, the body, and it sheds, you know, and at different times of day is worse. It gets
But
so bad in the morning and evening, you know.
what's coming out of your skin, is it like a filament? Is it like a strange hair?
It's like little white pieces of paper that are clumpy, you know, from the sides. But it's very tiny. And, you know, the dermatologists tell me it's psoriasis and things like that. No, you know, it's not.
I don't know.
But it's really bad because, you know what, it's really like this film comes down through from the head, like something like a liquid type of thing coming through the nose, and it's so nasty. The taste is so bad, you know. It's like, oh my goodness, it's awful, you know, and it feels very toxic.
The best thing would be to complete my questionnaire. I might be able to give you a better assessment after I look at the questionnaire and educate
okay.
you as to what you're dealing with.
Yeah.
That's what I would recommend. And then I would recommend starting the diet. And
that I cannot eat.
Oh, that's
I
right.
Eat.
You have this too, but
I have a G2, you know, so there's nothing I can eat. The
yeah.
only thing I might be able to eat a little bit is like a little bit of egg, but that's it, you know. And I only do once because I got to take up, you know, I'm deficient on cholesterol. And it doesn't dilute for my G2, so I got to try and, you know, swallow it somehow. And I do, but it's so hard.
Right.
So I'm like, I can't do diets, you know.
I'm at loss as to what to suggest if the diet is not possible. Sharon, Robin, you have any suggestions? I'm at loss.
What I would recommend, hi, and Alba, my heart goes
yes.
out to you.
Thank you
for the things that you're experiencing. But many of us have had those same experiences. I know what you're speaking of when you say the cotton-like fibers are coming out, because I experienced that myself. Also,
mm-hmm.
the biofilm, what I would recommend that you do, first, let me make sure you know that I'm not a doctor. I can't diagnose, treat, cure, or mitigate any diseases. However, I would recommend that you go to our store. You start trying to take the Stop Parasite formula along with the detox package from Nancy. At the end of the call, we'll give out
mm-hmm.
the numbers of coaches. I'd recommend that you get a coach. And as Richard
mm-hmm.
said, to complete the form, fill it out, and then he'll give you further information. By listening also to what you said, it sounds like it's indicative that you have some type of mite in your scalp as well.
Mm-hmm.
So you would want to start getting the debriding soap, the 100%, and use that from head to toe. Just with all the other things, boost your health and immune, start making sure your environment is clean, start doing your laundry with the ammonia, and get a coach so that we can
mm-hmm.
help you get your life back.
So what was the first
thing that I would
you said? You said Pardon something
me?
At the beginning to start taking, and I didn't write it down. What was
the name? The Herbal Stop Parasite, your formula.
Can you spell that for me, please?
It's called Herbal, H-E-R-B-A-L, Stop, S-T-O-P, Parasite Formula.
Formula. You know that you're breaking down, Richard. You know, it, the connection sounds very broken when you speak for some reason.
You want to go ahead and repeat that for her, Sharon?
The Parasite Stop Formula, the Herbal Parasite Stop Formula, it's in Richard's store. It's in our store.
Okay, can you spell it? Because I couldn't hear Richard.
H as in hotel.
Mm-hmm.
E as in echo. R
mm-hmm.
as in Romeo. D as in Bravo.
Mm-hmm.
A as in alpha. L as in
mm-hmm.
Lima. Herbal stop, stop, go, freeze, stop.
Okay. Yes. Yeah, definitely. I'm going to read the coach's name later and get a coach and fill out the questionnaire, and we'll go from there. It'll be the best thing. All right. Okay. Anyone else have a question? We're down to 4 minutes.
9983, sub.
It's 9993, and it should, but thank you so much. I wanted to say, first of all, I was, like, in tears of happiness when I found Richard's TikTok page, because I have known it's More Jones for a long time. But as you mentioned there, you know, you try to look that up and you get to a dead end. And I was, this call was, I couldn't wait for. I just wanted to say I have it in my scalp worse than anywhere. It started in my face. I think I've been exposed to everything in the book. I've been exposed to, I walked barefoot all up north where there's tons of fungus in the redwoods. I was subjected to mercury poisoning when me and my dog went into the Suku River on a nuclear power plant in Venezuela, or Pennsylvania. And I've gotten so much worse over the past, like, year or so, right? And it's in my scalp. I don't want to shave my head, but I've lost almost all my hair anyway, right? And even where it's, like, on my scalp where it's the worst, right, I'm afraid if I shave my head, right, I can feel them underneath my skin. I can feel the line, like, and I just want to know, like, you know, and I know I read the chapter about, like, you know, cleaning the skin, and I guess it's really overwhelming, right, and I know that there's a lot I need to do, and I have everything, the boron, I have the ammonia, I have the diatomaceous earth. The next thing I know I need to get is the burning soap. I have castor oil, and whatnot. I just want to, if you could break, I don't want to shave my head, you know, I really don't, but my skin is so, like, it feels
well,
like
okay. Have you read the book, and have you joined
I'm reading the book. I'm like about halfway done, and I also wanted to say thank you so much for personalizing it. Thank you. That was really nice of you.
The first thing we want you to do is you start the diet. That's paramount. As far as your head goes, the shorter your hair, the better, mainly because the hair is dead. It's a waste. It's a wasteland. Any products you're using are just being used up in dead hair and getting nowhere. We want to get down to the scalp. There is a protocol in the book about the scalp, and if we had time, we'd do it, but we're down to a minute right now. So, A, make the diet work, and then read the book, the section about the scalp. All you have to do is go to the table of contents in the front, and you can find scalp, and you'll find it in the book. And go to work. That's it. It is overwhelming. There's a lot of information. I know the information I gave earlier is overwhelming because there's so many cofactors, so many things going on. And as you acknowledged, you've had a lot of them, the mercury poisoning and the walking and the worms and everything else. So this all makes a lot of sense, and you've come to the right place because here you're going to get it spoon-fed ABC what to do to get your life back. And within 6 months, you'll become one of our coaches.
I mean, one more question. Do you think I'd have to be on the diet my whole life?
No. Three stages. It's down to 13 stages. The first stage is the most difficult. If you do it right, you can get through stage one in about a week. If you mess up, it'll take you maybe 6 months, as it did Robin, and 9 months, as it did Sharon. Okay. That's the end of the program for the day. Thank you very much. This concludes segment number one.
Love you. Yeah.